Somewhere this summer, sometime this summer, I was reading in my personal devotions through 1st and 2nd Corinthians. When I got to 2nd Corinthians, there were certain passages that just kind of jumped out off the page and thought, boy, there's a message there. I said many years ago, and this is still true, I don't do my devotions to find sermon material. I do my devotions for my own personal walk with the Lord. But that was taking place, and I thought, well, I think when we are looking for another area to go for messages, I think we'll be going to 2nd Corinthians. 1st Corinthians, why are you passing over that? Well, I just felt drawn to 2nd Corinthians. I'm not going to have time to get through 1st and 2nd, so let's do 2nd. The Apostle Paul was the founding pastor of the church at Corinth. He established that work on his second missionary journey. If you look at a map, you'll see that Corinth is in the country of Greece. And it was a very troubled congregation upon his establishing of that work. And he wrote 1 Corinthians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to deal with many problems in the church. But by the time you get to 2 Corinthians, many of those things had been dealt with. And the Apostle Paul really opened up his heart to the Corinthian believers. There are many touching things in this scripture, and really the passage that Joe just read for us this morning talks about the personal experience of the Apostle Paul as it relates to the matter of suffering. And there in verse 3, you'll notice that he refers to the Lord as the God of all comfort. And that's the theme of the message this morning, the God of all comfort. And we're going to see how that relates to the Apostle Paul and his life. We're going to see how that relates to our lives as believers as well. And as I look over the congregation, I know that in recent times, within just the last 2-3 years, numbers of people have faced death in their families or among very close people that were very close to them, have faced very serious illnesses. Almost every Sunday morning, I come to this pulpit and share prayer requests that are of a physical need, and people are facing and dealing with illnesses in their lives. There are other kind of things that bring sorrow to our lives, sometimes in our relationship with other people. Maybe they disappoint us, maybe they feel, or maybe we feel like they have not been what they should have been in our lives in relating to them, whatever those things might be. There are a lot of things that bring sorrow and disappointment to our lives. As we look out on our national situation and the world situation, that's just one of those things, again, that causes people to be concerned and to ask, where are we, what's happening, where are we going, what's going to be the final outcome of all of these things. And so this morning, as we begin a series on 2 Corinthians, the God of all comfort, we're going to look first of all at the giving, and then we're going to look at the gaining, and then we're going to look at the growing. Three very simple points: giving, gaining, and growing. The God of all comfort, this matter of giving. The Apostle Paul had experienced physical suffering, even to the point of death. You'll see it there again in verses 9 and 10, where he writes, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us." And back there in Lystra, he was stoned. He was stoned and left for dead, and it's almost without a doubt that Paul was, he did die. He had that glorious vision of heaven, and he talks about that, and then the Lord restored life to him. But we're in 2 Corinthians. Turn with me back to the 11th chapter in verse 23. Let's just see this from the words of the Apostle Paul as he was instructed to write about those things. And chapter 11 is dealing with his call to be an apostle, although he was not with Christ during his earthly ministry. But he is laying out the fact that the Lord did indeed call him to be an apostle. And he is identifying with them in the fact of what he has done as a missionary, but the things that he has experienced and the suffering that he has gone through. So he says there in verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths, facing of death often. That's what he's saying. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. 39 stripes, 5 different times. 195 stripes laid on him with a lash. Look at verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. It was only of the Lord that he lived at all through many of those experiences. Lystra, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And so, if you were following that and thinking about that at all, any one of those experiences, have any of you ever been shipwrecked? You ever had to abandon ship? 3 times he experienced that. The beatings, the persecution, the suffering. Paul knew what it was to suffer for the cause of Christ. And yet, in this passage, he is instructed to begin this letter to the Corinthians by saying, the God of all comfort. Well, if anybody knew that God could comfort, I think Paul would be qualified. He would meet that. And look at verse 4. I'm back now in the first chapter. Look at verse 4. He says, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And what he's saying there is that sorrow and suffering have a purpose. And one of those purposes, not the only purpose, but one of them, is to be a help and an encouragement and a comfort to someone else. That is the giving. Because out of experiences that we have and trials that we face, because we have gone through certain things as individuals and someone else goes through a similar experience, whether it be with an illness, whether it be with a passing of a loved one, whether it be any kind of a hurt or sorrow, there are other people in the family of God. Many times in counseling with Christians over the years, I say to them, you are not alone. You are not the only person that has faced this kind of a trial. I'm not saying that to belittle their trial, but I'm saying there are others that can help you and can be an encouragement to you. I'll use just one specific area. Believers go through trials and times of testing in their marriages, just like unsaved people go through trials and testing in their marriages. And sometimes when a couple is experiencing that and going through that, and they feel like, wow, we're probably the only believers that have ever gone through this kind of thing. We're probably the only saved people that have ever had difficulty, and they're almost embarrassed by it. And they come and we sit down and we talk and know there are other people who have gone through these things. And not only to know that others have gone through, but others have been successful, and others have found that the Lord is sufficient. I'm getting ahead of my message, but that's okay. The Lord is sufficient, and he can meet those needs. And hearing that from someone else who has been there and done that is strengthening. And so the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, we experience suffering so that we can be a help and so that we can be an encouragement to someone else. Now that takes some time, that takes some commitment, that takes some giving. That takes being involved in someone else's life. But the Apostle Paul says, the Lord has a plan. The Lord has a purpose in that, and he is able to use those things. Look, if you will, at verses 6 and 7, where the Scripture says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation. It is for your comfort. It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation. It is for your comfort, your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast. Pardon me, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. And so the Apostle Paul is saying it works together. And God has a plan and God has a purpose in those things. And he's talking about consolation, comfort. And he's talking about salvation. And I think primarily in this passage, and the word salvation as it's used in the New Testament can be and most often does refer to our salvation in Christ Jesus. However, it can also relate to deliverance that God provides, answers that God provides. And Paul is saying, out of suffering, God brings comfort. Out of suffering, God brings salvation. God brings deliverance. The God of all comfort. There is this matter of giving. So, Christian friend, maybe you're going through some trial, some testing, some difficulty in your life right now. Just be reminded that God has a purpose in that. It has meaning. It's not just random suffering that's out there. But God will use that in your life, and down the road, he can use that in the lives of others as well. The God of all comfort to giving, but there is also the gaining. And I see that described in verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And so there is something to be gained, and that's something that to be gained. Not only as God uses that in the lives of others that we can be a help, but our suffering, our dealing with temptation, our going through trials helps us to understand Christ in a better way and in a deeper way. God only had one son without sin. He had no sons without suffering. So if Christ suffered, and he did, and we suffer as believers, then that helps us to identify with Christ in his suffering, knowing that indeed he did suffer. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 15. The scripture says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And think about this for a moment. In Christ becoming man, one of the aspects of that, again, as it relates to our salvation, he had to become man to die. He had to become man to suffer, but he knew all about temptation. Really, the first aspect of his earthly ministry was coming out of the 40 days temptation of Satan in the wilderness. If Christ had been sent to earth, born of a virgin, and never experienced suffering, and never experienced pain, and never experienced trial, we would not be able to relate to him in the way that we do. And there has to be something of Christ relating to us in the fact that he was a man, sin apart, but he was a man. And he suffered. I thought about it in relationship to salvation. I thought just sat down and reflected and just jotted down a few things this week, how Christ suffered even before he got to the cross. And here he is in his earthly ministry explaining to his own what is going to happen to him this year when he goes up to Jerusalem. And how one of his own, one that he had called to follow him, Judas Iscariot, betrayed him for the price of a slave. Betrayed him with a kiss. came in the cover of darkness to betray him. You think about that and you ask yourself, does that hurt? Is that suffering? And then to tell Peter, before this night is over, you will deny me three times. I went back and read that this week because I wanted to make sure that I had it right. And we'll not turn there. It's a very familiar story. But in Luke's gospel, it talks about how Peter denied the Lord. It's talked about in Matthew. It's talked about in Luke. It talks about in John. Even to the point of profanity, with oaths and cursing, he said, I don't know him. I had nothing to do with the man. I'm here out of curiosity. And the third time he had done that, the cock crew. And Luke's gospel tells us, I thought one of the gospel writers did, it's Luke. Luke said that Christ looked at him at that moment. Now here is a mob of people. They have come with their staves and with their their lighted torches and all the things that they brought to arrest Christ. But out of the crowd, when the cock crew, and it was a reminder to Peter of what Christ had said, Jesus made eye contact with him. He didn't say a word. He didn't have to say a word. He just made eye contact with him. He found him in that crowd and he looked him out and he looked at him, and Peter knew what it meant because the next verse says that he went out and wept bitterly. Now that hurt Peter. There's no question about it. And I'll not develop that any further, but you can find from the scriptures that that's dealt with in the end of John's gospel. But what about Christ? And what about the suffering that Peter had denied even knowing him? You read your Bible and you will find it under the soldiers that were under the command of Caiaphas, Herod, and Pilate, three different individuals. Christ appeared before each of them, and each of those men that were under their command on three separate occasions, they all mocked him, they all ridiculed him, they all physically abused him and took advantage of him. And I won't take time this morning to go into those things, but that was all prior to the cross. And We're in 2 Corinthians, but 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So on the cross, Christ was made sin for us. Did it hurt? It hurt. Was it suffering? It was suffering. Was it agony? It was agony to the point of shedding his own blood as drops of sweat there in Gethsemane. When you think about Christ and what he suffered, it'll help you to be encouraged to know that God is the God of all comfort. His physical suffering. I'm not trying to be morbid this morning. I'm trying to develop a passage of Scripture. And I found as I read through this, and I said this in the introduction, and along with other passages in 2 Corinthians, it spoke to my heart because it's where we live. It's where we are. The suffering that Christ underwent. And to think of what he suffered. But to add to that, not only what he suffered, but who he is. He is God. He is our Creator. He has made us in his likeness and in his image. And yet he came and suffered and experienced all of what the human experience is, again, sin apart, for us. What love. What love. Who he is and what he suffered. The men's trio reminded us this morning, keep falling in love over and over with him. And as you live and as you try to relate the scriptures to your life, you realize that whatever you face, and whoever you are, if you are in Christ Jesus, the Lord is with you. The Lord is identified with you in what you are experiencing. Someone has written this. This is not from me. And I cannot attribute it to someone because I don't know. But Christ is no security against storms, but he is the perfect security in the storms. Christ gives no guarantee that we as believers will not face storms. Christ is no security against storms, but he is the perfect security in storms. He does not promise an easy passage, but a safe landing. He does not promise an easy passage, but he promises a safe landing. Look, if you will, at verse 14. And I know that's not within the compass of where we are this morning. And I, in this series of messages, I'll not be looking at every verse through 2 Corinthians, just verse by verse. But look at verse 14, because this is in many ways the capstone of what we are looking at this morning. The scripture says, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And what the apostle Paul says is saying is that I, as an apostle, I want to be a blessing. As those who know the Lord, you are a blessing, you are a help, you are an encouragement, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And Paul is referencing there, the day of the Lord Jesus, and that's a broad prophetic term that includes both the rapture and the second coming and the millennial kingdom. And Paul's kind of wrapping it all together there. And he's saying that we as believers have great rejoicing because we have that wonderful hope of what Christ not only has done for us, but is going to do for us. There is a bright tomorrow. And yes, we do face trials in this life, but there is that which we can look forward to in the life that is to come. That's not the only aspect of the Christian life, and I'm going to talk about that in point three. The God of all comfort, the giving out of our suffering, if you will, the gaining. We understand something more about Christ as we pass through trials ourselves, and to realize that our God, our Redeemer, our Creator, our Savior went through suffering that we as believers will never face. The God of all comfort, let's talk about the growing. And you say, preacher, boy, this has been a morbid sermon. If I'd known we were going here this morning, I'd have, it was sorrow, suffering. And we make a response. We can grumble, we can growl, we can groan, we can gripe. Any of you ever been there and done that? Or there's a fifth option. We can grow. We can gripe, groan, growl, grumble, or we can grow. And that's what the Lord desires, that we would grow. Trouble, suffering, trials change us. You can't go through them and remain the same. It's going to change your life. It's either going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. It's either going to draw you closer to the Lord or it's going to push you further away. Well, obviously God wants those things to draw us closer to Him. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, look at verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. Paul is saying, he's saying to believers, he's saying to us, he's saying, I have confidence, I have hope in believers, knowing that as you go through trials, as you go through times of testing, you will also experience God's comfort, and you will know God in a deeper and a greater way, and you will see Him, and you will grow if you can see the Lord through the trials that you have and the trials that you experience in your life. As a young Christian, I understood, as it related to my salvation, the sufficiency of Christ. By that I mean I understood that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, that He is the Savior. That all I needed for eternity was wrapped up in the person of Christ and what He did for me on the cross and what He did for me in rising 3 days later. I understood, again, as a young believer, not maybe all the aspects of my salvation, certainly not, but I understood that Christ was sufficient for my eternity. I understood that my sins were forgiven. I understood that God had cleansed me, that I had become a new creation in Christ Jesus, that things had changed in my life, and I was going in a different direction. And I understood the sufficiency of Christ for those matters related to my salvation. But it was only as I lived as a believer and went through trials and went through testing that I began to realize that the Lord was sufficient for all of life. And He was sufficient for whatever I would face in life, whatever I would come to, the Lord would see me through. It wasn't a lack of ability on His part, it was a lack of trust on my part. And so I like to think that through trials, I have grown. And that's what the Lord intends for us as believers, that we might grow through our trials. And I saw His sufficiency not only, put that in quotes, as it related to my salvation, but also as it related to my life experience. Got to reading a little bit. My studies in preparation for this message led me in one commentary that I was reading, H.A. Ironside, of an old Methodist evangelist. His name was Billy Bray. Billy Bray was born in 1794 and died in 1868. He was a Welsh coal miner by trade. He had a trial in his life. He had numbers of them. But one of them was an accident, a mined cave-in that nearly took his life. He was an unconverted man, and he knew he was an unconverted man. But coming out of that mining experience, he began to read John Bunyan's book called Visions of Heaven and Hell. And the Lord used that in his life to bring him to a knowledge of himself. Now, if you don't know anything about Billy Bray, you ought to do a little reading, and I'm smiling because you'll be blessed by learning something of his life. And in the course of time, God called him, and he became a Methodist pastor and a Methodist evangelist back when Methodists still believed the Bible. Billy Bray was very vocal about his faith. And with the coal miners, after he met Christ, he let them know, I'm living for the Lord. He was always saying, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. And they'd rib him as unconverted people would. He'd say, well, my one foot, every time I lift it, says hallelujah. And my other foot, when I lift it, says praise the Lord. And that's just the way I go through life. And he used to make this statement. He said, if people put me in a barrel, I'd still say praise the Lord out the bunghole. Now, if you don't know what a bunghole is, there's always a little hole in a barrel. He said, if people put me in a barrel, I'd praise the Lord out the bunghole. One day he was at home. His wife came to him and said, Billy, we do not have a penny to our name. She said, we don't even have any meal, any flour. I mean, I'm trying to prepare something for us to eat, and there's nothing here. She said, you're always saying if they put you in a barrel, you'd praise the Lord out the bunghole. She said, "Will you go stick your head in our flour barrel that is empty, and you praise the Lord?" Billy took her up on it. He said, "I'll do it if you will." She said, "Okay." So they stuck their heads in the top of this barrel, and they were praising the Lord, and they were praying, and they were praising the Lord and praying and asking for the Lord to meet their needs. And as the account goes, when they were done, they took their heads out of the barrel. They were pretty powdered up. And about that time, there came a knock at the door. And somebody who knew their need had brought provisions for them. God provided, God answered. And I know as I stand before you, and you know as I stand before you, that God hears prayers, God answers prayers, and sometimes, I mean, it's just that immediate. And sometimes it's not. It's over a period of time. But as we purpose before the Lord in our hearts, God will use our trials to grow us. And one of the things, and years ago, Mike Musser made this statement. He said, one of the things you want to do when you're going through a trial in your life is find out what lesson or lessons the Lord has for you to learn. And I thought that there is real wisdom in that. As we go through our trials, there are things for us to learn, and there are always things that God wants to teach us and wants to show us. Purpose in your heart before the Lord. I want to learn what you have for me, Lord. Look, if you will, in your Bibles once again. Look at verse 6, where it says, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now notice, there's that verse in my mind divides into two portions. It says, first of all, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation. And when we are comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation. Now I'm not going to try to run off here on a tangent. I think this is related to where we are this morning. I'm not going to try to run off on some tangent here on you and say this. But one of the things that people who are outside of Christ, they always, a lot of them, will talk about this matter of suffering and how can this happen and how can that happen and this tragedy and that tragedy. How can God, if He is all loving and all caring, how can He stand by and let those things happen? Well, what the Scripture is saying and what we have been considering this morning is that trials and testing and suffering in our life, it isn't something that's just out there and it randomly happens. God uses it in our lives. God has a purpose in those things. I can understand a person who is outside of Christ and looks in, if you will, on the Christian faith and the lives and the hearts of believers and testimonies and say, I can't relate to that because there's too much trouble. I can't relate to that because there's too much suffering. I can't relate to that because why does God allow this, that, or the other thing to happen? But what the Scripture is telling us is, it has a purpose. It has a reason in God's plan. And so Paul was instructed there in this sixth verse, he was saying, "And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." So the Apostle Paul was saying that really it's a two-way street. And whether we're suffering or whether we're seeing God as the God of all comfort, it's still the Lord is working and He is revealing Himself. And I'm just reviewing now. He is revealing to us That suffering has a purpose, that it is something that God can use. God is so great that even our trials, we've been working through, we're through now, Hebrews 11 on Wednesday night, and we've looked at the great heroes of the faith, and it talks about hero after hero that God delivered. Daniel from the lion's den, the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He spared people. He delivered them. He watched over them. He cared for them. But right there in one of the verses toward the very end, it says, but others experienced difficulties, others experienced trials, others experienced suffering. It would appear that God forgot about them. No, he didn't. It would appear that God wasn't caring for them. No, that wasn't it at all. God was using that as well. And so my point is that when Romans 8:28 says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, we can understand that God means exactly what he says, that all things work together for good to those who love God. It's an opportunity for us to give. It's an opportunity for us to gain. It's an opportunity for us to grow. One last time, let's look together at verse 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And someday the Lord will set it all right. Denny mentioned as he introduced the opening song this morning, farther along, we'll understand, we'll know all about it. Eternity will reveal those things. And by faith, as we live now, we accept those things and we work through them and we look to the Lord and we seek to be encouraged and strengthened by him. As a believer, let me challenge you, and maybe this is a challenge. Maybe you've never been challenged before, but to challenge your thinking and to challenge your heart, that in suffering we can realize that God gives those things, God has a purpose, and we can accept them and understand them in that way. Coming out of this also, as believers, we can rejoice in what God has provided for us and what God has given to us, because Paul keeps talking about this consolation and he keeps talking about this matter of salvation. And I said, in the context of this passage, it's speaking primarily, although not exclusively, that our salvation is the deliverance that God gives through trials. But God gives salvation that brings peace to our heart, peace to our mind, comfort that we can know that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God has not forgotten us. Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer, in the hymn Rescue the Perishing, she penned these words, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate no more. Perhaps today you're here and you've never trusted Christ. You've never been born again by simple faith in him. And maybe you just feel life has been unfair. I don't know how many people over the years have said to me, life is unfair. Well, maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you feel life is unfair. The Word of God is your comfort, and the Word of God is your salvation. And the things that are broken and that no human being can fix, the Lord in salvation can bring you to peace of mind and to peace of heart. I realize that most of the people I'm speaking to this morning are believers. Perhaps as a believer, right now you're going through a trial, a testing, a difficulty. Maybe you're experiencing something in your life maybe no one else knows, no one else is even aware of. But the Lord knows, the Lord cares, and the Lord wants to do something in your life, and he wants to help you, and he will. He will. That's the promise of his word. I don't make that promise. I couldn't begin to keep it, and I can't fathom the ways that God takes experiences in our lives and uses them for our good, our growth, and his glory. But I know he does. I know he does. Let's pray together. Christ underwent, and to think of what he suffered, but to add to that, not only what he suffered, but who he is. He is God. He is our Creator. He has made us in his likeness and in his image. And yet he came and suffered and experienced all of what the human experience is, again, sin apart, for us. What love. What love. Who he is and what he suffered. The men's trio reminded us this morning, keep falling in love over and over with him. And as you live and as you try to relate the scriptures to your life, you realize that whatever you face, and whoever you are, if you are in Christ Jesus, the Lord is with you. The Lord is identified with you in what you are experiencing. Someone has written this. This is not from me. And I cannot attribute to someone because I don't know. But Christ is no security against storms, but he is the perfect security in the storm. Christ gives no guarantee that we as believers will not face storms. Christ is no security against storms, but he is the perfect security in storms. He does not promise an easy passage, but a safe landing. He does not promise an easy passage, but he promises a safe landing. Look if you will, at verse 14, and I know that's not within the compass of where we are this morning, and I, in this series of messages, I'll not be looking at every verse through 2 Corinthians, just verse by verse, but look at verse 14, because this is in many ways the capstone of what we are looking at this morning. The scripture says, as also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. What the Apostle Paul is saying is that I, as an apostle, I want to be a blessing. As those who know the Lord, you are a blessing, you are a help, you are an encouragement, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And Paul is referencing there, the day of the Lord Jesus, and that's a broad prophetic term that includes both the rapture and the second coming and the millennial kingdom. And Paul's kind of wrapping it all together there. And he's saying that we as believers have great rejoicing because we have that wonderful hope of what Christ not only has done for us, but is going to do for us. There is a bright tomorrow. And yes, we do face trials in this life, but there is that which we can look forward to in the life that is to come. That's not the only aspect of the Christian life, and I'm going to talk about that in point three. The God of all comfort, the giving out of our suffering, if you will, the gaining. We understand something more about Christ as we pass through trials ourselves, and to realize that our God, our Redeemer, our Creator, our Savior went through suffering that we as believers will never face. The God of all comfort, let's talk about the growing. And you say, preacher, boy, this has been a morbid sermon. If I'd known we were going here this morning, I'd have, sorrow, suffering. And we make a response. We can grumble. We can growl. We can groan. We can gripe. Any of you ever been there and done that? Or there's a fifth option. We can grow. We can gripe, groan, growl, grumble, or we can grow. And that's what the Lord desires, that we would grow. Trouble, suffering, trials change us. You can't go through them and remain the same. It's going to change your life. It's either going to make you bitter or it's going to make you better. It's either going to draw you closer to the Lord or it's going to push you further away. Well, obviously God wants those things to draw us closer to Him. 2 Corinthians, first chapter, look at verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. Paul is saying, he's saying to believers, he's saying to us, he's saying, I have confidence, I have hope in believers, knowing that as you go through trials, as you go through times of testing, you will also experience God's comfort, and you will know God in a deeper and a greater way, and you will see Him, and you will grow if you can see the Lord through the trials that you have and the trials that you experience in your life. As a young Christian, I understood, as it related to my salvation, the sufficiency of Christ. By that I mean, I understood that when I trusted Christ as my Savior, that He is the Savior. That all I needed for eternity was wrapped up in the person of Christ and what He did for me on the cross and what He did for me in rising 3 days later. I understood, again, as a young believer, not maybe all the aspects of my salvation, certainly not, but I understood that Christ was sufficient for my eternity. I understood that my sins were forgiven. I understood that God had cleansed me, that I had become a new creation in Christ Jesus, that things had changed in my life, and I was going in a different direction. And I understood the sufficiency of Christ for those matters related to my salvation. But it was only as I lived as a believer and went through trials and went through testing that I began to realize that the Lord was sufficient for all of life, and He was sufficient for whatever I would face in life, whatever I would come to, the Lord would see me through. It wasn't a lack of ability on His part, it was a lack of trust on my part. And so I like to think that through trials, I have grown. And that's what the Lord intends for us as believers, that we might grow through our trials. And I saw His sufficiency not only, put that in quotes, as it related to my salvation, but also as it related to my life experience. Got to reading a little bit. My studies in preparation for this message led me in one commentary that I was reading, H.A. Ironside, of an old Methodist evangelist. His name was Billy Bray. Billy Bray was born in 1794 and died in 1868. He was a Welsh coal miner by trade. He had a trial in his life. He had numbers of them. But one of them was an accident, a mined cave-in that nearly took his life. He was an unconverted man, and he knew he was an unconverted man. But coming out of that mining experience, he began to read John Bunyan's book called Visions of Heaven and Hell. And the Lord used that in his life to bring him to a knowledge of Himself. If you don't know anything about Billy Bray, you ought to do a little reading, and I'm smiling because you'll be blessed by learning something of his life. In the course of time, God called him, and he became a Methodist pastor and a Methodist evangelist back when Methodists still believed the Bible. Billy Bray was very vocal about his faith. And with the coal miners, after he met Christ, he let them know, I'm living for the Lord. He was always saying, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. And they'd rib him as unconverted people would. He'd say, well, my one foot, every time I lift it, says hallelujah. And my other foot, when I lift it, says praise the Lord. And that's just the way I go through life. And He used to make this statement. He said, if people put me in a barrel, I'd still say praise the Lord out the bunghole. Now, if you don't know what a bunghole is, I didn't, there's always a little hole in a barrel. He said, if people put me in a barrel, I'd praise the Lord out the bunghole. One day he was at home. His wife came to him and said, Billy, we do not have a penny to our name. She said, we don't even have any meal, any flour. I mean, I'm trying to prepare something for us to eat, and there's nothing here. She said, you're always saying if they put you in a barrel, you'd praise the Lord out the bunghole. She said, will you go stick your head in our flour barrel that is empty, and you praise the Lord? Billy took her up on it. He said, I'll do it if you will. She said, okay. So they stuck their heads in the top of this barrel, and they were praising the Lord, and they were praying, and they were praising the Lord and praying and asking for the Lord to meet their needs. And as the account goes, when they were done, they took their heads out of the barrel. They were pretty powdered up. And about that time, there came a knock at the door. And somebody who knew their need had brought provisions for them. God provided, God answered. And I know as I stand before you, and you know as I stand before you, that God hears prayers, God answers prayers, and sometimes, I mean, it's just that immediate. And sometimes it's not. It's over a period of time. But as we purpose before the Lord in our hearts, God will use our trials to grow us. And one of the things, and years ago, Mike Musser made this statement. He said, one of the things you want to do when you're going through a trial in your life is find out what lesson or lessons the Lord has for you to learn. And I thought that there is real wisdom in that. As we go through our trials, there are things for us to learn, and there are always things that God wants to teach us and wants to show us. Purpose in your heart before the Lord. I want to learn what you have for me, Lord. Look, if you will, in your Bibles once again. Look at verse 6, where it says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Now notice, there's that verse in my mind divides into two portions. It says, first of all, if we are afflicted, it is for our consolation and salvation. And when we are comforted, it is for our consolation and salvation. Now I'm not going to try to run off here on a tangent. I think this is related to where we are this morning. I'm not going to try to run off on some tangent here on you and say this. But one of the things that people who are outside of Christ, they always, a lot of them, will talk about this matter of suffering. And how can this happen, and how can that happen, and this tragedy and that tragedy. How can God, if he is all loving and all caring, how can he stand by and let those things happen? Well, what the scripture is saying and what we have been considering this morning is that trials and testing and suffering in our life, it isn't something that's just out there and it randomly happens. God uses it in our lives. God has a purpose in those things. I can understand a person who is outside of Christ and looks in, if you will, on the Christian faith and the lives and the hearts of believers and testimonies and say, I can't relate to that because there's too much trouble. I can't relate to that because there's too much suffering. I can't relate to that because why does God allow this, that, or the other thing to happen? But what the scripture is telling us is it has a purpose. It has a reason in God's plan. And so Paul was instructed there in this sixth verse, he was saying, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So the Apostle Paul was saying that really it's a two-way street. And whether we're suffering or whether we're seeing God as the God of all comfort, it's still the Lord is working and he is revealing himself. And I'm just reviewing now. He is revealing to us that suffering has a purpose, that it is something that God can use. God is so great that even our trials, we're through now Hebrews 11 on Wednesday night, and we've looked at the great heroes of the faith, and it talks about hero after hero that God delivered. Daniel from the lion's den, the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace. He spared people, he delivered them, he watched over them, he cared for them. But right there in one of the verses toward the very end, it says, but others experienced difficulties, others experienced trials, others experienced suffering. It would appear that God forgot about them. No, he didn't. It would appear that God wasn't caring for them. No, that wasn't it at all. God was using that as well. And so my point is that when Romans 8:28 says we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, we can understand that God means exactly what he says, that all things work together for good to those who love God. It's an opportunity for us to give. It's an opportunity for us to gain. It's an opportunity for us to grow. One last time, let's look together at verse 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And someday the Lord will set it all right. Then he mentioned, as he introduced the opening song this morning, farther along, we'll understand, we'll know all about it. Eternity will reveal those things. And by faith, as we live now, we accept those things and we work through them and we look to the Lord and we seek to be encouraged and strengthened by him. As a believer, let me challenge you, and maybe this is a challenge, maybe you've never been challenged before, but to challenge your thinking and to challenge your heart, that in suffering we can realize that God gives those things, God has a purpose, and we can accept them and understand them in that way. Coming out of this also, as believers, we can rejoice in what God has provided for us and what God has given to us, because Paul keeps talking about this consolation and he keeps talking about this matter of salvation. And I said, in the context of this passage, it's speaking primarily, although not exclusively, that our salvation is the deliverance that God gives through trials. But God gives salvation that brings peace to our heart, peace to our mind, comfort that we can know that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God has not forgotten us. Fanny Crosby, the blind hymn writer, in the hymn Rescue the Perishing, she penned these words, down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that are broken will vibrate no more. Perhaps today you're here and you've never trusted Christ, you've never been born again by simple faith in him, and maybe you just feel life has been unfair. I don't know how many people over the years have said to me, life is unfair. Well, maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you feel life is unfair. The Word of God is your comfort, and the Word of God is your salvation. And the things that are broken and that no human being can fix, the Lord in salvation can bring you to peace of mind and to peace of heart. I realize that most of the people I'm speaking to this morning are believers. Perhaps as a believer right now, you're going through a trial, a testing, a difficulty. Maybe you're experiencing something in your life maybe no one else knows, no one else is even aware of. But the Lord knows, the Lord cares, and the Lord wants to do something in your life, and He wants to help you, and He will. He will. That's the promise of His Word. I don't make that promise. I couldn't begin to keep it. And I can't fathom the ways that God takes experiences in our lives and uses them for our good, our growth, and His glory. But I know He does. I know He does. Let's pray together.